Today in the show, we have the UK's regulated liability network, EY's ops chain, Aptos Ascend, and much more. I'm your host, Mauricio Magaldi, and this is Block Drops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business.
These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only.
In the first drop today, we talk about a newly announced project by UK Finance involving quite a good number of participants around a new UK regulated liability network, which will reach its experimentation phase with 11 members. Currently involved with the project, Barclays, Citibank, HSBC, Lloyds Banking Group, MasterCard, NatWest, Nationwide, Santander, Standard Charter, Virgin Money, and Visa, being supported by service companies Linklaters and EY, and technology from R3, Quant, DXC, and CoaJute. These are participating in the overarching program. This experimentation phase will account for payment upon delivery for physical products, which is looking to reduce fraud from online marketplaces. Also, the home buying process, improving transparency for customer, and obviously trying to mitigate frauds around the overall conveyancing process. Digital bond settlement, connecting digital customer money, the digital assets, which might involve some form of real-world asset tokenization. The experimentation will run through the summer of this year in the Northern Hemisphere, looking to cover customer and business benefits, exploring these foundational capabilities of digital forms of money, which, according to the announcement, will align to the BIS and the Bank of England Project Rosalind, experimenting some form of API for a possible digital pound. Hopefully, in this case, they won't use the same architectural design, which is very much centralized in the case of the digital pound or Project Rosalind. They'll assess for technical feasibility with a variety of proofs of concepts around different technologies within the sandbox for both functional and non-functional requirements around the RLN design, and also the legal framework, new rules, existing rules, how they play with this new decentralized paradigm, including tokenized assets and, as the name goes, tokenized deposits. They have a white paper out, according to the announcement, and the potential benefits that they're looking to achieve with this RLN program is introduction of a new global settlement infrastructure, which is operated by regulated issuers and using regulated instruments, a network that can allow for tokenized programmable money that is interoperable across the issuers, a wider scope that would include sovereign currencies, that like fiat currencies that might be more inclined to specific use cases, still respecting the structure of public and commercial money and separation between public and private balance sheets, extend the concept of RLN to potentially regulated stable coins, other currencies that would enable RLNs to solve cross-border payments, and obviously other asset types that can be tokenized using the same infrastructure, and also leveraging messaging standards such as ISO 20022, which obviously is used in open banking and used in instant payments right across the world. So very interesting that they're leveraging new technologies with pre-existing frameworks, especially involving large banks that are... Most of these banks have a variety of initiatives expanding from RWA tokenization, you know, trading of cryptocurrencies as, you know, asset classes themselves, and even participating in other regulatory pilots around the world. My only concern, and this is not to be something that will give way into a centralized form of money, which is very much what Project Rosalind with the Bank of England and the BIS are pitching for the digital pound. This is going to involve commercial issued tokenized deposits, which tend to be more in line with a separation between a wholesale CBDC and obviously tokenized deposits or stable coins, which is an architecture that both Hong Kong and Brazil are pursuing. So looking forward to seeing what this is going to look like. This week here in London, accounting firm, consulting firm Ernst Young hosted their annual blockchain summit. Blockchain in EY is led by a friend of the show, Paul Brody. They also brought my Brazilian friend and head of blockchain for EY in Brazil, Tamila Talarico, to the city. And as part of their program, they reviewed a new solution using their implementations on Polygon, which is a layer 2 on Ethereum. This new implementation is called the OpsChain Contract Manager. So there's a number of products that UI has been developing over the years. They launched Nightfall, which is a zero-knowledge roll-up for business operations, which runs as a sidechain to Polygon as an independent blockchain. They also have Starlight, which is a compiler for private smart contracts using zero-knowledge proofs. They've been dabbling with zero knowledge for quite a few years now. And OpsChain is a platform that's aimed for supply chain management. And the contract management module is aiming to transform the business rules of contracts into smart contracts logic so that companies can actually automate all of their business rules and interface between one two or more parties. So very interesting progress in terms of layering up to the application layer with all of the exposure. The big four firms like Deloitte, KPMG, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and EY themselves have been in the blockchain space, the enterprise blockchain space, more importantly, most of them trying to deal with blockchains that are the so-called permissioned or private blockchains. And according to Paul, the approach that EY took is different because they understand that private blockchains don't necessarily provide privacy, because once participants are running that private blockchain instance, every participant on that network can see what each other is dealing with, which obviously defeats the purpose of doing that on a blockchain, especially in private. Now, what EY is doing is incorporating zero-knowledge proofs to transact the proofs instead of transacting the data, which makes it very much private. Even though the proofs are public, the data about the proof is the data about the data, information about the data, so they can transact that on an open public blockchain without compromising any of the data. Full disclosure, this is similar to my project where I work, Midnight. Not quite the same technical solution, but using zero knowledge to provide privacy or data protection to enterprise users is a similar proposition. So interesting to see EY evolving into that space now with the OpsChain contract manager. Interesting also that Nightfall is seen as a layer 3 to Ethereum. Ethereum being the layer 1, Polygon being the layer 2, and Nightfall operating with or sideways to Polygon is considered a layer 3, which is something that we're seeing a lot recently with these new chain development kits. Polygon has one, Optimism has another, Arbitrum has another, Base, if I'm not mistaken, is another layer 2 that can spin out layer 3s. These are forms of scalability of blockchains, and depending on your business use case, you will need such a thing. So it's very interesting to see that the new concept of sharding, or extending a sub blockchain that can roll up into superior blockchains as layer twos and layer threes, have taken such an uptake in adoption in the enterprise space as well. EY also says that they're going to bring Ops Chain to Ethereum mainnet and to Polygon in other instances. So interesting to see. I'm just glad to see that businesses are finally taking on public chains instead of trying to do things on a permissioned blockchain, which obviously then creates a ring-fenced area, and it's more akin to intranets than anything else. Back in early 2020, about 4 years ago, there was a movement or a large project by Facebook, now Meta, that aimed to create a global currency that would be a balance between a basket of other national currencies. And that project was called initially Libra, later Diem. And after much regulatory pressure, Facebook decided to sunset the project and then sold the technology that they developed for that project. And that asset became a couple of new blockchains. One of them is Aptos. Aptos is a smart contract blockchain that is being growing in the market in terms of volume, in terms of TVL, in terms of development. And one of the components of the Libra DM architecture was a wallet called Novi. And then Aptos was founded by the folks that actually worked at Novi. Avery Ching, Aptos's co-founder and chief technology officer, was a software engineer, a principal software engineer at Meta, working at Novi. And Mo Sheikh, also a co-founder of Aptos Labs, worked as strategic partnerships during that period. So they launched Aptos and have been doing a lot of buzz around the blockchain space. This week, they announced Aptos Ascend. Aptos Ascend is a partnership between Aptos Labs, builds and maintain the Aptos blockchain, with Microsoft, Brevan Howard, and SK Telecom. And it's aimed to be this new asset management platform aimed at financial institutions. It will be built using Microsoft Azure services. Microsoft Azure is the Microsoft cloud platform. They will leverage the Azure offering of the OpenAI service, the same service that runs ChatGPT. Also will employ Mark expertise from Brevan Howard's investment analysts to train the models, and will integrate with SK Telecom's wallet as a service functionality to allow for trading within the space. And they are also bringing in BCG, Boston Consulting Group, who specializes in strategic projects for a variety of industries, financial services included. So the goal is to help institutional capital to come into DeFi through that platform, through Aptos Ascend, so that it's very much in line with what they are trying to do with digital assets. According to Mo Sheikh in the press release, he says, and I quote, "Global institutions require superior levels of compliance, security, trust, and innovation to service customers, operate across borders, and adhere to regulations at every level. In collaboration with SK Telco, Brevan Howard, and Microsoft, Aptos Ascend will provide the world's financial institutions, banks, and tech-forward money markets with a performant, compliant, secure, and scalable gateway to decentralized finance on Aptos that will evolve for years to come," end quote. It is very interesting to see such a level of specificity coming from the labs that are building a blockchain. You would expect the labs that are building and maintaining a blockchain to focus on the infrastructure, but you know, getting the problem in their own hands by building Ascend seems a very interesting choice, strategic choice by Aptos Labs. And I wonder whether this is going to encourage others to come and build on Aptos because the model has a validation, or if they will shy away because it will appear that they are competing with what would be, say, a canonical, you know, TradFi, DeFi onboarding platform, and seeing that as a direct competition. We'll see. I think we're going to have to wait and see how this thing evolves. But very interesting combination of AI technology, blockchain, market expertise, market outreach to get to where they need to be so that Aptos can grow in terms of usage. Let's see how that plays out. In a week packed full of news, here's more. This weekend, we saw the Bitcoin halving. Bitcoin halving is when a block reward of the Bitcoin is reduced to half of its previous amount. This time, the block rewards are down to 3.125 Bitcoin per block. Interestingly enough, the fees surged during this historical moment because historical Satoshis were being newly minted, and also because a new meme coin is launched on the Bitcoin protocol called Runes. Banco do Brasil, in Brazil, received regulatory approval to sell their crypto fund shares to retail investors. Shares start at 0.01 BRL, 1 cent of the Brazilian real. There's a new paper about retail CBDCs available from the folks at UCL, who have been doing amazing work in researching and developing new forms of money. Amex Ventures announced that they're backing Web3 loyalty firm SuperLogic in a round with 7.6 million of total funding. The Hong Kong Monetary Authority provided the market with guidance on the use of decentralized ledger technologies, including public blockchains, which banks will be able to use, although with some caveats and limitations. It's good for us to check on what's the developments going to be in Hong Kong, because this seems very promising. Catch us online. We're on Instagram at BlockDrops Podcast, on Twitter at BlockDrops Pod or Xerox Mauricio. We're on Lens at blockdrops.lens. We have a newsletter on LinkedIn. Write to us at blockdropspodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to the BlockDrops podcast at Spotify, Icolab, Fabribon Tech, and all of the other major streaming platforms. Yay! Shoutouts today to the people who share the links you will find in the episode notes: Brian Souza, Tommaso Aste, Victoria Thompson, Paul Brody, Mo Shake, and Lugi Tillier. Don't forget to leave the ratings on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.